Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Lincoln in the Space Bunker. Wink, wink. I said it out loud. That was dumb. Oh, crap. I forgot to turn on the fake bunker ambiance. There we go. Anyway, so the consultant's still gone, and Trisha stepped out to see a little bit of Chicago, which is great. Got to see the Bean. But, she's been missing for, like, a week. The city's mostly a grid, though. She couldn't have gotten that lost. Regardless, I'm going to keep listening to the podcast and gathering important intel. But first, a quick heads up that there's a new Spintax the Green spinoff podcast called I Am Spintax. There are 2 episodes already available on Stitcher Premium, with more new episodes coming out weekly. Spintax with his own podcast. Oh man, what a time to be alive. I'll have a clip of the show that you can listen to after the episode. As always, if you don't have Stitcher Premium, you can get a free month by going to stitcherpremium.com/magic. And then you can listen to I Am Spintax, Earth Games, Behind the Tavern, Offices and Bosses, and more. Man, we have a lot of spinoffs now. That's stitcherpremium.com/magic. Speaking of cool things to listen to on Stitcher Premium, Marvel released a new podcast about the Fantastic Four called Marvels, based on the graphic novel by Kurt Busiek and Alex Ross. The show is set in New York City after a battle between Galactus and the Fantastic Four. It immerses you in the real world of the Marvel Universe and the lives of the people who inhabit it. It's written by Laura Shippen, the writer of The Bright Sessions, and directed by Paul Bay from Black Tapes and The Big Loop. That's some serious audio drama pedigree there. And guess what? They're both friends of the podcast, so that's cool. Huh, friends of the podcast. I should include that in my report. There we go. If you want to give Marvels a shot, go to StitcherPremium.com and sign up with the code MAGIC. Or going to StitcherPremium.com/MAGIC also works. Both ways will get you a free month trial of Stitcher Premium. That's StitcherPremium.com with the promo code MAGIC. That's done. So let's get to the show.
Magic Tavern, a weekly podcast from the magical land of Foon. I'm your host, Arnie Niekamp. If you've never listened to the podcast before, this is everything you need to know. Some time ago, I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical, fantastical land of Foon. Luckily, I'm still getting a Wi-Fi signal from the Burger King through the dimensional rift, and I use that to upload a podcast chronicling our quest to defeat the Dark Lord, which has somewhat recently brought us to Jizzlenob Preparatory School for Young Wizards, where, you know what, we got jobs as teachers. I've set up the podcast in the teacher's lounge area, and you know what, this week I'd just like to have like a chit-chat session with some of my other teachers about what it's like to teach at a magical school. I am joined, as always, by my peers, Chunt the Talking Badger.
Professor Chunt.
Oh, Professor Chunt.
Thank you so much.
And also Usidor the Wizard.
I am Usidor, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow, manipulator of magical delights, devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of Tarakas. The elves know me as Fiangelic, the dwarves know me as Zorinhuk Stangjes, and I am known in the northeast as Gasmanius Maystar. And there may be other secret names, yea, gentle listener, names so powerful that if I did e'er utter them aloud, every fruit upon the fruit tree I was near would wither and die.
Yeah, the students at Jizzlenob know you as Professor the Blue.
Yes, that's right. They call me Professor the Blue now. Everyone loves me here.
So wait a second, both of you are professors?
Yeah, I got tenured.
Uh-huh. You got tenured already? Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've been here for just a couple weeks.
Well, they promised me 10 more years. I got tenured.
Oh, God.
And look, Arnie, I sewed leather into my fur on my elbows. And I have this pipe now.
That's bleeding.
I have this nice pipe. I ripped it out of the bathroom wall. I've been bonking other teachers on the head with it.
That's not good.
But professors are supposed to have a pipe.
Can I just start referring to myself as a professor?
You could, I suppose.
I mean, we're in the professor's wardrobe, right?
Yeah, I guess this teacher's lounge is called the professor's wardrobe.
Well, it's not a teacher's lounge. That'd be crazy. It's a professor's wardrobe.
Oh, okay. Well, we're in the sort of like private space for the teachers and professors of the school to kind of hang out, let loose, complain about the students.
It's a bigger one, so they call it a professor's wardrobe. Mm-hmm. If it's a smaller one at a different school, they call it a professtabule.
Oh, you know, I'm not that familiar with what the sort of universities of this world are like. Is Jizzlenob like on the smaller side, medium side, bigger side?
It's pretty large. One of the larger schools for young mages and necromancers to come and ply their trade. There are smaller, more private institutions. And, of course, there's a very, very large school down in the Migosian Isles.
Oh, what's it called?
Thunderweist.
Thunderweist?
Thunderweist, yes.
Thunder. Thunderweist. Also, I gotta say, I'm such a proud papa.
Oh,
I brought Iggy Baby with me to the school, and Iggy Baby just got sorted and was put into a house. He put on the sorting pants, and he was put into House Chirping Bird.
Oh!
Isn't that amazing?
Wonderful.
My little Iggy Baby.
Yeah. Has anything hatched out of the egg?
No.
Oh, so it's just a...
Not all eggs hatch, Arnie. Not all eggs hatch.
Oh.
That's a proverb.
Which means?
Professional verb.
Oh, okay.
To go. Some verbs get promoted, and they're professional verbs.
Yeah. What would be an example of just like a amateur verb?
In. Towards.
Oh. Oh. But speaking of professionals, to go back to my question from before... Can I just start referring to myself as, like, Professor Arnie, or I guess Professor Kneecamp?
I suppose technically you could, but I don't know that you should. It's possible that the powers that be might show up and say, you have not been granted the power of professorship, so boring. Like that.
Just like that.
I think he sounds more like, my name is Ken. I can't really
swing
do it.
Swing and a miss.
I can't
that's
do a good
Ken. Swing and a miss.
You didn't think that was good?
Ken. Hello. Hey, Ken.
I have no point of reference for this, but it also reminds me of your Michael Caine impersonation.
Oh, yeah. My Michael Caine. Master Wayne.
Master Wayne, do not go in there. That's what you always say.
That's my favorite.
Master Wayne, swing.
That's my favorite part of... That's my favorite part of the Batman stories that Arnie tells us when Alfred Pennyworth yells, Master Wayne, don't go in there. Don't go in there.
Yeah.
And then a ghost pops out.
Yeah, somebody should have stopped him, but he went in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody did stop him.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I take degrees seriously, but I kind of want to just start calling myself Professor Kneecamp because I feel like my students don't really...
Respect you?
Respect me.
Okay.
Like,
well, talk us through how's class been going? You're teaching math?
I'm teaching math.
Okay, woof.
Yeah, which I gotta be honest, I don't know a lot about math, so I've sort of segued it into talking a lot about like earth science, which is what I used to refer to just like earth stuff.
Okay.
But now, wait, hold on here. You're teaching a class about earth stuff?
Yeah.
After years of telling us that you don't want to talk about earth stuff. You now are telling me.
You're doing it for a living.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Do you want to audit my class on our stuff?
I don't particularly want to audit your class. I want to be treated with respect I think I've earned over these past few years and have my questions answered whenever I ask you about Earth things.
Well, you know, as a professor at Jizzle Knob, you can audit my class for half price.
And Arnie, as a math teacher, audit stands for odd integer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is an odd integer?
In.
Okay.
Toward.
All right.
So I've been teaching the class, and the first day I sort of tried to think, what are some things that I remember from math classes when I was growing up? And so I spent the first day really just sort of trying my best to explain the plot of Donald Duck and Math Magic Land. But it's very confusing. It's kind of picaresque. There's not a lot of story that goes in one direction. I had a hard time. They didn't really get what a Donald Duck is.
Mm. And what is a Donald Duck? You said it's a pantless freak president?
It's a duck with, like, anger issues.
And what's a Daffy Duck?
It's a duck with anger issues.
And a Daisy Duck?
It's a duck that has somehow gotten its anger issues under control.
And a turducken?
It's a food that gives you digestive issues.
And a duck and cover?
I don't know. A duck and cover?
Duck blind?
Duck blind?
Yes, what is it?
What is a duck blind?
You were answering all of Chunt's questions when he was saying
well,
duck things.
Or if you want me to answer your questions, you can audit my class. As a professor at Jizzle Knob, you can audit the class for half price.
Ooh.
But anyway, I just don't feel like...
Wait, you guys are getting paid?
Not a good deal.
Yeah. You're not getting paid?
No.
Chunt.
I guess Eggy Baby's getting free tuition.
Oh, yeah. That's probably it.
Hmm.
Oh, yes, of course I'm getting paid. I am a wizard, a natural force of nature and magic, and I have come here to teach these students not how to do magic, but of the history of magic.
Ugh.
Oh, you're teaching history of magic?
Arcane history is my subject. I teach them about all the amazing things that have happened in the past with magic.
Is your class okay? Because I heard a few days ago there was an arcane fire.
There was an arcane fire. And
there was a funeral?
There was a funeral, but...
Did they read from the Neon Bible?
We did read from the Neon Bible, and I'm glad that you're saying these things.
I think people came in all the way from the suburbs.
Well...
And the new one. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have that one.
But yes.
Class is going good?
Oh, yes. It is so wonderful to see young minds come alive when you regale them with the tales of foonish history, especially the history of magic.
Usador, can I ask, please don't take this question the wrong way.
But okay.
Are your students really into what you're teaching, or is your personality just predisposed to assuming they're into what you're saying?
Now, I understand why you would say that. I am a big enough person to accept my own foibles, but I believe they're actually quite engaged. In fact, many of them are so enraptured that they have grown eyeballs on top of their eyelids.
What?
They close their eyelids, and on top of their eyelids, I see another set of eyes.
Wow, that sounds like, yeah, growth, literal growth.
Yes, they snore loudly through the entire lecture, but I can see them watching intently.
Huh.
Hmm. Do they blink at all with these new sets of eyes?
No, they are so transfixed they can't even blink.
That sounds unsettling.
No, it is a little bit, but they're very engaged. And often they're so engaged that they come up to me after the class and they say, will any of this be on the exam? And I say, all of it. And then they look crestfallen because they don't want to just take a test. They want to learn it for their own edification.
Chun, how are the students in your class?
Pretty good. So I am teaching Defense Against Art History. obviously, I would prefer to teach Transfiguration.
Sure.
That seems like I'd be a shoo-in for that. But of course, Gromulon Pumpkin Dragon, what's his name?
It's not a silly name like Crom. It's Gord's God the Pumpkin Dragon.
My apologies. Gord's God the Pumpkin Dragon has that class on lockdown. So I'm sure I'll only last a year with Defense Against Art History. So.
Well, I've heard that every teacher of Defense Against Art History has died. Horribly and mysteriously.
It's true. Caden very specifically mentioned that
Ooh,
to us.
Fun. I they forgot about that.
They haven't been able to keep a teacher for that class more than 4 weeks at a time.
And it's already been 2 weeks.
Huh. That's ominous.
Yeah. Has anything strange happened? Have you seen any monsters or any danger afoot?
Well, speaking of Defense Against Art history, a lot of the paintings in Jizzlenob have been slashed by a specter or some sort of some ghoul or ghost or something. All the kids have been seeing it. Unless it's my kids playing a prank on the school. And then, good job, kids. Keep at it.
The kids talk to you about the things going on in their lives?
Oh, yeah. They come up to me after every class and are like, Professor Chunt, can we get more homework? What are you up to?
What?
Yeah, they're really engaged. I mean, to be fair, a lot of times during class, I'll cut open a cow and just show figures in its blood because I'm kind of checked out. So I'll just be like, for the next hour, just watch what's being presented in the cow's blood.
Oh, my students just mostly say things like, fuck you, shut up.
Are those
stop.
Answers, though?
Please stop
talking.
What are
talking. The math problems you're presenting? Because that could be an answer.
Oh, that's a good question. Have any of my math problems had the answer, please stop trying to explain this weird duck to us?
Is this an opportunity for growth? Could you take some of this feedback and perhaps do as they say and shut the fuck up?
Yeah, because in math, there's FOIL, which is first, outside, inside, last. And, of course, there's fuck off, which is first, underneath, closer, knowledge, over... Further.
Oh, okay.
So that's the way you solve problems.
Okay, well, can you walk me through how I could solve a problem using that method?
Of course. So give me some numbers. Give me a math problem.
7.
Great. So take 7.
Okay.
Now, the first number, you're going to take that. And what number is that?
Whoa, slow down.
That's 7, right?
Uh-huh.
And what's underneath 7?
6.
6. So you take first, underneath.
Great. Underneath?
Yep. Then you're going to get closer. What's closer to 6? 7, right?
7.
So you're back to 7.
Yeah.
Now you take the K, which is knowledge. You know that it's 7.
Yeah.
Now what you're going to do...
Over, further. 8, 9, 10.
8, 9, 10.
Oh.
We solved it.
He's a scholar.
Okay.
Do you get how I got that?
I'll say yes.
Okay. See, so 7 equals 10. No problem.
7 equals 10.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay, now you do one. I'll give you a number.
Okay.
33.
Okay, 33. So, the first number is 3.
No, then first number is 33.
The first number... look, I'm going to write it down. Look. 3.
Mm-hmm.
The first number is 3.
Well, if you put them close together and reverse one of the 3s, it's actually an 8.
8. That was one of the ones from the earlier one. Okay. Wow. What happened with the earlier one? 8, 9, 10. 10! The answer is 10. 33 equals 10.
No, Arnold.
It's Arnie. Professor Kneecap.
Professor Kneecap, the first number is 33. What's under 33? 6.
Why?
Closest to 6 is 7.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge. Over, further. 8, 9, 10.
That's what I said. 10.
Yes, but you didn't work it out.
You left out the 8, 9. You didn't show your work on the board.
You have to show your work.
You didn't show your work. I'm bored.
Yeah, try it again. 51.
All right, the first number is...
Mm-hmm.
The answer is 10. Can I just say the answer is 10?
But how'd you get there? Fuck off. Arnie, fuck off.
Zelda, stop it. I get enough of this from my students. You know what the other thing, the other horrible thing? This is the worst thing about the students. They don't care that I'm from another world.
Should they?
I try to tell them. Hey, I know, kids. I know, I seem like the stuffy teacher. I'm a man from another world who fell through a dimensional rift. That should be interesting to them.
You're talking down to them, though. I'm a man from another world, so listen, right?
And to be fair, they're not here for you. You're here for them. This is their time to learn and grow.
I wasn't talking down to them because I took my chair, I spun it around, and I straddled the chair. And I said, kids, look...
Did you spin it halfway around or all the way around?
I spun it all the way around.
Okay, so like it's back to the
back to the front.
Okay.
And then I straddled it with my back to the class. And I said, kids, look, I'm not a regular teacher. I'm a man from another world.
And Arnie, as you're sitting that way, we can see on the back of your clothes, they put a sign that said, fuck me on it.
What?
They put a sign that says, fuck me.
Well, maybe that's just them trying to show their work.
Anything is possible. Now, Arnold, perhaps if you're frustrated, you should try a new tactic. What's something different you could do other than talking about ducks and talking about Earth? How else could you share the beauty and natural wonder of math with your students?
Make the information compelling.
Well, then I tried to explain that I have a podcast. I spent like three days trying to explain what a podcast was, including kind of like acting out the podcast for them, doing all the voices, doing a lot of season one all the way up to like episode 40 or so when they really were not interested anymore. They didn't care about the podcast either. That's like the only thing that makes me interesting.
Huh, fuck. I mean, if they didn't care about you acting out a podcast, then I'm with you, Arnie. These kids suck.
Yeah, right?
Professor Niekamp, I got your back. And your back says fuck me. So, you know what?
I'm with you. We've been over this.
Yeah, we will.
I'm sorry. I'm just talking about myself. I thought I was going to be better at this. I'm glad that apparently both of you are doing great, but it just makes me feel all the worse that I'm not a... Am I not a good math teacher?
I think you will be.
No, I think yes. I think you. No. You just need a little time to really get in there. It's only been a couple of weeks.
Did you say a little tie?
A little tie
you
would
need
be
to wear
nice
a little
too.
Tie.
Both of you are just gesturing a lot more than you normally do. Your hands are just all over the place.
How about?
Luckily, your tone of voice is exactly where it normally is.
How about this? We cast a charm spell on you to make you more charming.
Ooh.
Oh.
Or how about this? I'll give you some options. If they don't respect you, make them fear you.
Ooh, wait. Mm-hmm. Let's do that first.
Huh. Make them fear me. How would I do that? Is that why you hit other teachers with your...
With my pipe. So here's what you do. Next time a student comes up after class and says, like, fuck off to you, throw them out the window. You teach on the first floor, right?
I do.
Yeah, so just a couple scrapes.
Oh.
But set an example.
Is that
you won't be trifled with.
Is that what you do?
No, I've never done that. My students love me.
Oh. Do they really love you?
I think so.
I would assume so.
Several of them got tattoos of me.
What? That seems like a bad idea. 2 weeks in?
Yeah, I don't know. What can I say?
There's a tattoo parlor in Vander Village that caters to students here.
It's called Billy Yum Yum Tattoo by Tattoo.
Tattoo by Two?
Okay, I opened it, all right? I am getting paid, and I put all my money to open this tattoo shop.
There
and
it
I'm
is.
Giving people free chunt tattoos if they want them, all right? Busted.
Show us your tax returns. Here, Arnold, if you want to be more desirable to these...
Well, I don't want to be more desirable to the...
Arnold,
yikes, bikes.
Arnold, if
you, Sidor,
that's not what I meant.
We
that's
took a
not
whole
what I
day
meant.
Of classes.
No, that's not
on
what I
all
meant.
All of this stuff.
What
I know you're old. No. I know you're like many hundred years old, but it's a different time now, Usador. I know probably when you went through the Great Halls of Tarakas, it was normal for a teacher to marry one of their students.
P.S. Have you been saying Great Halls of Dukakis? Because I still feel like that's a good one.
That is a good
You told
one.
Me on fair you're going to start saying it, and you never do.
That's true. You know, I got to say, all season, I have not been interrupting Usador
at
all.
We got to do that more often.
Yeah, Great Halls of Dukakis. It's pretty good.
Ugh.
Yeah, and I should tell that to my class. They're going to love that one.
Or Great Balls of Dukakis.
If you want your students to find you interesting and to be a good teacher to them, all you have to do is listen to them. Set up some office hours. Ask them what their problems are, and they shall tell you what they need.
Mm-hmm.
And then throw some numbers in there.
Throw some numbers in there. And quote, do you know Coward Zinn?
No.
Yeah, there's a guy in Foon, this author named Coward Zinn, and he wrote like a people's history of Foon. So it's like no bullshit what the kids want. Quote him, and they'll be eating out of your hand.
I don't want them eating out of my
hand.
Well,
the poor students will be eating out of
your hand. Look, I know you grew up in a different time as an animal where it was normal when you went to like badger school. It was normal for a teacher to have their students
Put their hand flat and we'd nosh out of their hand.
It's a different time. You can't do that anymore.
Is it still okay if I eat out of my own hand?
It's not great.
It's not great. Is it still okay if I live hand to mouth?
It's better than before in your ass to mouth.
I told you that in confidence, Arnie, that I'm living ass to mouth.
Well, what?
Everybody knows. Anybody that's had a conversation with you
really?
And has a sense of smell.
Is that apparent that I was living ass to mouth?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, speaking of which, let's take a break. Let's get some water or something.
Okay.
Let's
get you a little tie.
It's harder to focus than ever these days. Thankfully, C4 has reinvented the energy drink game with C4 Smart Energy, the only energy drink clinically proven to provide enhanced mental focus, containing 200 milligrams of natural caffeine, a blend of vitamins and zero sugar. It was formulated to support your well-being and help you feel your best, all while enhancing mental focus. From your brain to your body, C4 Smart Energy does it all. And tastes amazing. Look for Smart Energy in the beverage aisle at your local Kroger, Albertsons, and Safeway grocery stores. C4 Smart Energy. Stay focused.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Now, Arnold.
It's Professor Niekamp, please. I'll write it up here. Hello. Good morning, Usador. My name is Professor. There's so many letters.
You just
professor.
Wrote Profarni.
Oh, shit. You know what? You start writing your name after a while, like it just doesn't look like anything anymore. You kind of even, you're sort of like, what is this squiggle? Like, none of these are the letters in my name. And then, like, Niekamp, it's so long, everyone spells it wrong. I have to tell them there's a silent I.
I have that relationship with the word balloon, where the more I say it, I'm like, balloon. It's like, what am I even saying?
Yeah. Balloon.
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 Balloon. Balloon.
You're saying balloon.
Balloon.
Balloon, yeah,
right?
Balloon. That's what you're saying.
You get what I'm saying.
I get it. Yeah. No, I'm saying.
But it like loses all of its meaning. It
balloon.
Just becomes like a sound. Balloon.
Balloon. Balloon.
No, but you're saying balloon.
Yeah, what am I saying? You're right.
You're saying balloon.
Thank balloon.
You got it.
Balloon.
You got it. Thanks, Profarni.
If you want to be a successful teacher, the way I am, what you must do is go to your students and say to them, what is it that you need? Let me be here for you. I often go to the hall where everyone takes their meals, the dinner hall. And there in the dinner hall, I walk past the students and they all laugh and wave, and I wave back. They're so happy to see me. You must become part of the culture here at Chiselknob.
Yeah, immerse yourself within the walls of this hallowed institution. You know, in the Great Hall, the dining hall, they have floating chairs. Isn't that kind of fun?
It's
like floating chairs. Candles are on the floor. Tables and chairs are up in the air.
Why are the candles on the floor?
You don't want to catch fire.
Oh.
Fire rises.
I've just been taking my meals in my room. I guess I should get out there and be a little more social. I don't know.
You're making the kitchen weasels bring your food to your room?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's shitty.
I thought that's what they do. I thought that's what all the teachers did. I didn't know.
No, the kitchen weasels are for the kitchen and for the great hall. You don't ask a kitchen weasel to bring you room service.
That's probably why they're always so angry, but I just thought, like, you know, because they're weasels.
Oh, Arnie, not a good look. This is a different time.
I mean, look, we can say this because it's just us. Weasels are just always, they just look angry.
Arnie.
Have you ever seen a happy weasel?
Arnie, this is between just us, but you should know in the professor's wardrobe, the PA system is always on.
What?
It's the professor's announcement system.
What?
This goes out to the whole school. I thought you knew.
My students can hear this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This whole thing, right? We've all been complaining about all the students?
Arnie, it's not that they can hear it. It's that they must. Anytime there's a message from the PA system, they must listen. It goes straight into their heads.
I didn't complain.
Look, I just hope that the students understand. I'm from a different world, and that makes me very
not a good look.
Now, okay, I'll get out there. I guess I just...
Have you explored the castle at all? Have you been to any other part of the school besides your room and your classroom?
I went to try to send some mail.
Okay. What system did you use?
Well, I'm a little intimidated. Why do they send all the mail via wolves with bat wings?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're scary.
Is there an easier way to send mail?
I mean, it seems like that mail is definitely going to get through, but it's just terrifying. Like when a full-size wolf with bat wings like flies in through your window.
Right.
Well, think about it this way: have any of your letters been lost?
No.
No, because those things are fucking terrifying.
Yeah, you're not going to mess with a postal carrying wolf bat.
Yeah, I'm just scared of airwolves. That's all.
You're scared of airwolves?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just organically came to that.
All right. What to do with that? Okay. All right. I'll remember that, Profarney.
Well, so what about you?
Who are you sending mail to?
You know, I was just trying to send some mail to some of the people from Hawk's Face.
Okay.
You know, I miss some of our old friends.
Did you get in touch with anyone?
Well, I've been told that all of my mail got through, but I haven't gotten any responses. So I hope I'm just not murdering my old friends by sending wolves to them.
Oh, no, I don't think so. Who did you send mail to? Did you send something to Mayor Manana?
Look, Mayor Manana is just a banana. Like, it's not a brilliant.
Arnie, don't let him have it.
Okay.
What? Let him have it.
No, but I sent a wolf to Momo, the mouse with human strength. I sent a wolf to Flower, the talking flower.
Well, she's not going to respond.
Thank you for the quick recap on characters as well. Thank you so much. I'm always like, who are my friends? And then it's great to hear their name and then a quick recap.
Yeah.
Arnie, the man from Earth.
I even, just to test it out, I sent a wolf to Chunt, the shapeshifter, who's always a talking badger.
Yes, yes,
who's
me.
The co-host
yes,
of this podcast.
Me. Yes, Arnie, I'm right
Hello
here.
From the Magic Tavern, mm-hmm. a weekly podcast from the Magic Land of Foon.
And you sent one too.
That's it.
All right.
Chunt, did you get my wolf?
I did, yeah. There was a wolf at my door.
Uh-huh.
And he dropped off a postcard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can nice. I just say, thank you for not sending a wolf back, because mm-hmm. that would scare me. That would scare me a lot.
Yeah, of course. I could gather that they were terrifying, so I didn't want to do that to you. But you should get out and explore more of the castle.
Yeah, well, what's some of the stuff I should go see?
Okay, let's see. You should go to... Have you been to the dungeon?
No. There's a dungeon?
There's a dungeon.
This is school. Why is there a dungeon?
Well,
just in case.
But it's an ancient castle.
Just in
castle.
Case. Just in case what?
Well, it's an ancient, ancient castle, long before it was a school.
Yeah. And you're not just learning subjects. You're learning street smarts, right? Uh-huh. The kids here need a lesson in how to be an adult, how to survive. So a lot of times the headmaster will be like, you know, go down to the dungeon, and kids will die or get caught in the pipes or something. So it's just kind of a life lesson.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
So the headmaster would be like, go down to the dungeon. I'm the mask.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, somebody stop me.
Mm-hmm. That's a great Can.
I know. I've been working on it. I've been told I can make my voice sound exactly like Can.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't.
Try
I mean,
your
it's not
right
bad,
now.
But it's not bad.
I am Can. I was in the Truman Show.
What?
Have you been to the stables?
No. What's at the stables?
Well, there are horses and pegasuses and.
Is it pegasuses or pegasi?
I think it's pegasuses. That's why I said it.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, have you met Genesis?
No.
Pegasus Genesis? It's a great little horse.
I guess I just haven't
heard. He's become a good friend of mine.
I've heard a few good things about Genesis, but not that much.
I mean, it's a throwback, but I enjoy it.
Okay.
But sometimes I'll ride him and go above the lake or just like circle the grounds. Or we formed quite a bond.
Oh.
Yeah. So Genesis, yeah, good friend of mine. So if you go to the stables, look for Genesis.
I can do that.
And if you see him drowning in the lake, save him.
Okay.
If you hear his calls...
If I hear him calling in the air, let's say, when would I hear this? Like tonight?
Tonight.
Like, should I start tonight?
You would hear it.
Hold on, hold on.
You would hear it coming in the air tonight.
Hold on.
There are also some griffins down there. And,
oh, that reminds me. Guys, I've been working on getting an invisible touch. I need to get invisible hands.
No, you do not.
What for?
There's so much magic at this school. Someone's going to be able to get me invisible hands. Then the students will love me.
Professor Kneecamp, I think the students will love you if you just be yourself. Don't try so hard. Chunt and I love you, and you barely tried at all for these past five-ish years.
You actively push us away, and yet we still love you.
But now you're trying to get their love. You're trying to force them to love you, and they are rejecting that. They're at an age where they're rejecting authority, and they're rejecting what they're expected to do. You have to open your heart and your mind to them.
Yeah, look at you. You put your pants on backwards. Why? To probably appeal to a younger generation.
What?
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
That wasn't even a thing?
I think that was just an accident.
Oh, these must have been like this for weeks.
How have you been peeing? Never mind.
Yeah, but yes.
I don't want to.
Never mind.
Canonically, I got a huge, long dick.
Well, I love my students. I have a very sweet young man in one of my classes. This is maybe the most attentive of all, from House Cameltoe. And he comes to me every day after class and he says, Usador, tell me another story of magic of the past, of arcane mysteries known and unknown. And I'll sit him down and I'll tell him a special story just for him. And he writes the notes down vigorously. And this young man's name is Simmon. S-I-M-M-I-N. And he's such a sweet young lad. And I think he just wants to learn everything about the history of magic. And then, as he's leaving, he sometimes turns to me and says, thank you for the additional story, Usador. I'll put it to good use.
Oh, so he just calls you by your first name? No, professor.
That's the sort of relationship I have formed with my students.
What does he mean by he'll put it to good?
What does that use?
Well, I think he's gathering all sorts of arcane knowledge from the past, and he just wants to use it in some way.
But does he say it just like how you said it? I'll put it to good use.
Put it to good use. Yes, just like that.
Is Simmon?
Simmon.
That's very.
And is he JK? Is he just kidding?
I think he's just kidding. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, wow, that's a little.
It's weird. Like, I'll put it to good use. Like, best case scenario, he's masturbating to it.
No, oh no. Don't be crass.
I'm saying that's best case scenario.
Do not to words, Arnie?
Stop. Now, don't be crass.
What do you masturbate to? No, don't.
Stop it. We are talking about the students at this school. Treat them with more respect. Do not speak about them in such a way. He is not masturbating, but every
day. He's taking that story out to Lake Dingledong. He's masturbating
into it? No. But every day when he comes into class, his eyes are a little redder.
Okay.
Well, what do you think he's doing with that extra story?
I think he's gaining power.
Gaining power?
Are they redder? Are his eyes redder with blood?
I don't know if it's blood or just like magical power building up. It might be blood. It's possible it's both.
Well, to be fair.
Maybe it's blood power.
I don't want to call it kettle black, but I also have a teacher's pet.
Oh.
It's a small skull moth. It's a pet I keep in my drawer. It's just, you know, I pull it out every once in a while. His name is Clyde.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just a little skull moth. Have you seen a skull moth?
No.
It's a little moth with a skull on its for a head.
Skull for a head?
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's just
straightforward.
My little teacher's pet. Every teacher gets a pet. Did you choose one?
I didn't know I was supposed to have a pet. Usador, what's your pet?
The griffin I mentioned down in the stable. And I will ride astride my griffin high into the sky all night long. And when I swing around the tower of the school, I see all of the children as they're in their common rooms playing games and studying. And I see little Simmon by himself making little monsters and turning red with power.
What? Making little monsters?
Yes, sometimes.
Little monsters, how we make them?
Sometimes at his desk, he just makes little monsters with incantations, and I'm just so proud of him.
Ugh, I don't know. I don't trust this Simmon kid.
You don't?
Yeah. Is he the one that has the star over his eye, or the one that kind of looks like a cat?
Those are the same student, Arnie.
What?
Starcat? You talking about Starcat?
Starcat.
Starcat Simmons?
Starcat Simmons?
Yeah.
I think that's a different student.
Oh, my bad.
Oh.
Who's that cat with the star above his eyes?
I think you're thinking of Grace Freelme.
Grace Freelme?
Yep.
Sure.
Okay. Seemed like you struggled with that name. You sure that's the name?
I'm not sure.
Usador, why do you always remember people whose names are hard to say?
Look, I can't remember everyone's names who I've ever met.
Grace Freelme?
Yeah, well, let's go 300 years.
Let's do a little test here. So I'll go first, and then we'll go Arnie, and then we'll go Usador. Let's just recall a few people we can remember. So for me, it's like Clyde, the moth, Genesis, my friend Josh. Who else is there? Gary, Ted, Melissa, Janet. Arnie, you say some names.
Ace, Spaceman.
Yep.
Freak with the tongue.
That works. Now, Usador, what are some of your friends you recollect?
Gorbon Thranostick, Shimmerwanks Wonder Smell.
flower, the talking flower. Let's see. Scumbawum Bing Bang. Oh,
see, this is what is frustrating about being in a magical world. All these weird names. Where I'm from, my friends had
what's weird about
normal
Scumbawum
names
Bing Bang?
Like Matt Young Scumbawum and Adil Rafi. Like
those are stupid names. The
second one was a little gibberish. So who's Chumbawamba?
Scumbawamba Bing Bang. You know Scumbawamba. You don't remember Scumbawamba? Scumbawamba Bing Bang, when we were still in Hog's Face, lived in the town square underneath the third rock just east of the fountain.
Oh, fuck me, Scumbawamba Bing Bang.
And every day he would poke his head up and he would slither out of his hole and he would go to work at the bank.
Oh, he worked at the bank?
That's right.
Yeah, he worked at the riverbank.
He worked at the riverbank, that's right.
Catching money. I think what it is I think Yusur just has a better memory than us.
Maybe.
Probably. For I have lived for over 3 centuries, and my mind is like a steel trap, capturing every bit of information that has passed through mine ears.
Oh, fuck. So what happens if a bear steps on your head?
All that knowledge would explode into the universe.
Oh, so it's not going to, like, clamp down on a bear?
Oh.
You just, your head explodes?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. Perhaps it would.
Maybe my memory is terrible. I spent somewhere between 3.5 and 3.75 years in Hog's Face, and how many names can I remember from that place? I know there was Momo, the mouse with human strength. There was Flower, the talking flower.
Chunt.
There was Chunt, the shapeshifter, who's usually a badger.
And
that's it. No. That's all I remember.
Can
wasn't really a Hog's Face person. Okay. He's hard to forget him because he talks...
Oh, Cuban Pete.
Cuban Pete? Who's Cuban Pete?
Doesn't matter.
What about Larry Birdman or Rocky Cocodino? Is that his name?
Rocky Cocodino.
Cocodino.
I remembered something Usador didn't.
Ooh.
Well, like I said, I remember everything. I just don't remember it all perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it gets a little, honestly, muddled.
Thanks for the name, Usador. I'll put it to good use.
Oh, wonderful.
Wait a second. I just realized something. Here's why Usador thinks all his students love him. He takes everything as validation.
Thank you.
Arnie, I think he's striving to be valedictorian. At the end of the semester, whoever tried to get the most validation becomes valedictorian.
Oh, I see.
Is there anything you're striving for? Any of the superlatives? The professor superlatives, famously?
I was thinking about getting really good at giving toasts. Being the salutatorian. Okay.
But you don't come to the shared meals in the Great Hall. You have to start coming to these meals. If you want to give toasts, that's the place to do it.
Big cafeterias give me a lot of anxiety. Like, honestly, guys, even back in Hog's Face, most of the week when we were doing the podcast, I would mostly not do anything. And sure, 80 to 90% of that is because I am lazy. But also, like, when I'm not doing the podcast, I'm kind of scared to talk to people.
I can give you something for anxiety. Here, put out your hand. Put out your hand.
Are you going to try to feed me?
No, just put out your hand.
Okay.
Here. It's a rock. This magical rock will help you relieve your anxiety.
Oh, shit. His hand turned invisible.
Damn it. No, that's the wrong rock. Give me that.
Wait, hold on. You son of a bitch.
You Usador.
All this time, I've wanted invisible hands, and you had a rock that could give me at least one invisible hand?
Here, take the other damn rock. It's useless, though. You have to hold on to the rock.
No, I'll decide what's useless. I have invisible hands. Sure, I can't do anything with them, but they're invisible.
You couldn't do anything with them anyway. Very well. Have all the anxiety you like and invisible hands. Who cares?
Ah, our first resolved storyline of season 3.
Ugh.
Well, you know what? I think I am going to take the next week and try to get out in the school more, get to know people, and I'm going to be a better teacher.
Well, the first change starts with awareness, Arnie, so I'm glad that you are striving to be better.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I have an email here from Esther Riley. It says, hello, Chunt, Susie, and Arnie. Who's Susie? Susie Dor?
Oh, perhaps this person attends the University of Phoenix, where I teach math, as Susan Doku.
That's right. Greetings from Ireland. Where's Ireland?
Oh, Ireland is across the ocean.
Why are they so angry?
Oh, okay. I know exactly where it is now. I'm relatively new to the podcast, and I'm binging through season 2. That being said, I had a question stuck in my head and couldn't find the answer. Is there anyone in Foon who has the opposite power of you, in which the shapeshifter sleeps with someone and their partner changes into a clone of the shapeshifter. I don't know what they're talking about.
So
I change into whoever I sleep with.
Yeah.
It used to. Now I can change at will. And they're saying if you sleep with someone, they turn into you.
I mean, I think that's more just what happens in a long-term relationship. Yeah. Like, eventually they turn into you.
Yeah.
And vampires.
Ooh, yeah, vampires. Oh, yeah, vampires. Yeah, vampires.
They'll turn you into them.
Yeah. That's the answer.
All right. Well, hey, you know what? I have an email here. As always, you can email me at magictavern@puppies.supplies. It's a real email address. Here's one. Hey, guys and guests. Sorry, no guests, so get it right. Long time, first time here. Ever since Jethro Tull was on your episode, I've been thinking, to get to Foon, Ian Landmaster would fall asleep, but to get out, he just wakes up. To get to Foon, Arnie, it's Professor Niekamp, you had to fall into a magic portal, so maybe to get out of Foon, you might have to have a wake. Huh? I think you have to die? Oh, no. If not that, just keep looking up. Sincerely, Mooster McMooster Pants. I don't want to die.
Didn't you drive into the portal?
No, I mean, I had my car.
Did the car fall?
No, I didn't really. I guess I do say, hold on. Hello from the Magic Tavern, a monthly podcast from the Magic
Tavern. A monthly podcast?
This comes out monthly? Why are we recording so many?
What are we doing?
Are we dumping a bunch of these?
Guys, is it best? I only release one in four or five.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah. Like last week's made no sense, so I can't release that to anybody.
We should never release that.
Well, Mooster McMooster Pants, if that is your real name, I'm not going to die anytime soon.
That's ridiculous. Of course, I'm here to protect you. There's no chance of Arnold dying with Usador the Wizard protecting him.
And if I did die, Usador, you could just bring me back. Like that time you died, you came back.
Oh, no, definitely not.
What do you mean? But magic.
Well, there's only so much magic can do. If you're dead, truly dead, you're gone.
But you did it. You were truly dead.
Yes, but I am a coalescence of magical force in the shape of a human.
Ugh.
Are you a coalescence of magical force in the shape of a human?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
Maybe I am.
I doubt it.
Maybe I am, and I just don't know it. Maybe I've always been it, and I, like, think that I'm a human. But I am. Are there tests?
Yes, we just take some of your blood and see how many midichlorians you have.
Ugh, no thank you.
And we should say, of course, to the students listening, to the entire Jizzle Knob Academy, good morning.
Oh, shit.
Right? And good morning.
And if we don't see you, good afternoon.
Yeah.
Good evening.
And good night.
Fuck off.
Arnold.
No, I'm trying to give them a little, like,
oh, math lesson.
Algebra.
Yeah, a little taste of their own medicine, huh?
Yeah. Oh, Chunt.
Yeah.
Don't make any sudden movements.
Is there a wolf back behind?
I think you've got some mail.
Oh, no. It's an airwolf.
Oh.
Is the wolf dead?
Oh, God. I didn't even make that connection.
Ooh, good. I took extensive notes during the episode, but honestly, I don't think any of this is useful. It's always so awkward when I submit my report to my boss, especially when she has me read it to her. Anyway, Usador the Wizard was played by Matt Young. Chunt the Talking Badger was played by Adil Rafai. Hello from the Magic Tavern is produced by Arnie Niekamp, Matt Young, and Adil Rafai. Post-production coordination by Garrett Schultz. Earwolf producer Kimmy Lucas. This episode edited by Garrett Schultz. Special assistance by Ryan DeGiorgi. Hello from the Magic Tavern logo by Allard Laban. Magic Tavern theme by Andy Poland. Hey, have I mentioned the upcoming Magic Tavern live shows? Well, it doesn't matter, because I'm going to mention them now. Hello from the Magic Tavern is coming to Atlanta, Georgia, January 12th, Charlotte, North Carolina, January 13th, then off to the other side of the country, Portland, Oregon on January 15th, Seattle, Washington, January 16th, and there's a newly announced show in San Francisco, California on January 17th as part of the San Francisco Sketchfest. The tickets are all on sale now. So you can get more info and links to buy tickets at HelloFromTheMagicTavern.com and clicking the Live Shows tab. Hey, and while you're at HelloFromTheMagicTavern.com, you can also check out the new shirts and pins and that silent eye coin. It is the holiday shopping season after all, and maybe that's where Trisha went. Okay, as a reward for sitting through all of that, I have a clip from I Am Spintax, the new spin-off series on Stitcher Premium. Spintax the Green hosts his own podcast, trying to gain power to return to Foon. It's co-hosted by an undead corpse and Jessica McKenna from Off Book. Oh, she's great. I'm sure the corpse is great too. Now I'm excited for this clip. Anyway, you know all the blah 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 about going to StitcherPremium.com/magic for a free month of Stitcher Premium. It's a great way to support the podcast, and you can listen to all the Magic Tavern spin-off shows. Blah blah blah. Okay, let's get to the clip.
I did notice this large shape underneath.
Yes, I do not have 7.5 feet of laptops under this tarp.
Okay.
What I have is, let me grab it, and it's going to be a tight reveal. Behold, Salmagundi, the beast I have created.
Oh my gosh, Salmagundi? Is that his name, or is that the name of what he is?
That will be his name once I bring him to life.
Okay. Ooh.
You notice the fine stitches. He has been put together by a variety of necrotic flesh.
Ooh, this sounds real gross.
Which I dug by hand out from the cemeteries around the Hollywood area.
Oh, God. Ooh.
Yes, he does smell. I'm sure the smell will dissipate once he's reanimated.
Oh, did you do it, like, during a CinespM film? Like, did you, like, go digging about while they were showing, like, Never Been Kissed or Jaws or something?
It was easy to blend in with the crowd.
Oh, shoot. I forgot to turn the podcast off after the clip ended. God, there's so many things to remember. Well, see you next week.
Okay, I gotta check the mail. Wouldn't even check this goddamn mail if I didn't sign up for that goddamn subscription box. Spend all my motherfucking money on trial-sized cosmetics like a real asshole. The fuck is this? Why is there a wolf in my mailbox? It says, "To Flower from Arnie."
I will end you. I will make you howl. Howl, bitch. Howl, bitch. Howl.
I feel like I was blindsided.
Because it's a competition show.
From the producers of Jury Duty and The Bachelor.
We have scoured the earth for the 14 greatest reality contestants that were available during our production window.
Comes a reality competition show about reality competition shows.
Nobody has dared to find out who is the actual best at just being on a reality show. I'm your host, comedian Daniel Tosh.
Is win or go home.
Each episode, our contestants will face new challenges that will test their strength and lack of life skills for a chance to win $200
million.
$200,000.
Prepare, because it's about to be ugly crying.
Lots of fighting.
Tayshia, I have to defend myself.
Celebrating 25 years of reality TV with your favorites.
I have diarrhea. You cannot do this to me.
What in gay hell have I got myself into?
The GOAT, premiering on Freevee and Prime Video on May 9th.